Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Israel Abel Gemma. I would like to serve you as a priestess starting very soon.
Please find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is the daughter of Yeshua Abel, Daniel Hogan Hawkins. I want to serve you as a priestess very soon. It is an honor and a privilege to introduce to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please pay close attention to this whole service. There is going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the house of Yahweh. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the first teacher.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Welcome home, everyone. You can be seated. Okay, I do have a title for my speech today, and it is called Let Us Be Like the First Beast. And if I could have my first slide, what I'm going to do is I want to do a real quick review. And this, you see this slide up there, that is the Strong's numbers that I had given last week, where the 1122 is established. Okay, 1122 means to build, establish, and construct the house of Yahweh. This is the date, 1122-1993. This is the date that the patent of the Yeketzkes temple was filed by the overseer. In the Greek, 1122-1993 means a writer, a scribe. Okay, it comes from 1120-25, which means a writing, a letter. The letters, the newsletters that we receive, the prophetic words that we receive, the blogs that the overseer posts on the internet, the books of Yisrael, all of these are writings by the one sent. And if you go farther, it says in the plural, it means scriptures. So he also updated and brought forth the book of Yahweh as been brought out before. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. This is the timeline that I was working on, and I brought to you. If you could show the slide, please. This comes from the House of Yahweh, 2017 House of Yahweh calendar. And as you see, the peace treaty was signed 9/13/1993. It went into effect 10/13/1993. On 11/22/1993, the patent was filed by the House of Yahweh. About a month later, the Vatican finalized the accord with Israel. That is what we're going to focus on today. We are, as the world says, let us be like the first beast. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. This is Revelations 13:14, and it says, and if you go to 13:11-14, it gives you the update, but I want to focus on 14. And it says, and deceives those who dwell on the earth by those acts of power. Power. You know what's going on today? Power. Everybody wants to be in power. Everybody wants to be able to do what they want to do and have the power to do it. Which he had authority. He was given this authority. The beast was given the authority to do this in these last days. To do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make a likeness of the beast. And if you look down at the notes underneath for AJ and AK, AJ says, or be like the beast. And AK says, the United States is the likeness of Rome and follows the same Christian religion, the same Christian religion of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, why is this authority so important? If I could have my next slide, please. Now, I'm going to be showing you, this is the patent that I was able to download off of the internet, and I want to show you the next two slides. If you could just focus on these two slides. This is the patent. If you see, that's the original document that was filed on 11-22-1993, and it was granted on 8-1995, okay, the same month that the overseer was born. But all those numbers that are showing there, I was able to do a Strong's. If I could have my next slide, please. Now, at the bottom of it, it shows the picture of the patent that was actually filed with the document. If you could show the slide. Now, on that slide right there, those are all of the numbers that are associated with the patent document. Now, legal documents have not line numbers so that they can search through the document in order to find information. This is how all legal documents are filed. And I took those numbers, and it actually shows that this patent is part of the House of Yahweh's prophecy. Now, when we go into this authority, what I wanted to show you is 1993 was when the peace treaty was signed. But the overseer brought out, it was from the birth of the nuclear baby, and it says on September 13th, this is chapter 1, verse 3, on September 13th, 1993, a secret plan, which had taken many years to formulate, was signed into effect. Now, this plan, I have this article, it's from the Times of Israel. It says the Vatican-Israel secret negotiations of 1993. And the story begins in the early 1990s. The Vatican was behind this peace treaty that was signed on the front lawn of the United States in Washington, D.C. The Vatican was there. It deceived the people, stating that it did not have relations with Israel until after this peace treaty was signed, but they were behind the scenes working on it. Now, why does that mean so important to have this authority? President Trump met with Pope Francis on 5/14/2017, and the headline said, Trump said to Pope Francis, I won't forget what you said. Now, the authority of the Catholic Church is they are the only religion that it has observer status in the UN. They are the only religion that has the power to sit in on the meetings at the UN and give their input. They have diplomatic relations with 183 countries. There are 192 countries in the world. The power of the Pope right now, at this time, the Trump is following the power of the Pope, where he is actually ordering the governors to do the will of the Catholic Church. And we will bring more information out on this as time warrants. And with that, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Praise Yahweh. So my title today is The Government of Yahweh. And the changing of hands of this government is the greatest event that we, the House of Yahweh, are anxiously waiting for. No, the world is never going to end. What will occur is the government, the beastly governmental system, the government of the people, by the people, for the people, as they call it, it will come to an end, and then Yahweh's government will take over, with Yahweh being the supreme ruler, the creator of all. And that's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. But mankind chose to go their own way. And Yahweh, it was in his plan to allow for mankind to learn a 6,000-year lesson of how they cannot go their own way and still expect the results of blessings, of peace, joy, love, and abundant living, as it's written in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14, to come upon them. So, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, it talks about men doing whatever is right in their own minds, which is not how we're supposed to do. Now, there is a guideline of conduct that we must adhere to, and that is all written down for us in these last days in black and white in the book of Yahweh, the words of Yahweh, the law and the prophets. And remember, we've been told we need to go by what is written. And that's what Yeshua Messiah did too. So for my first year metria, I have the changing hands of the governments. As you can see, that 348 means chest. And the synonyms for that word is sinless, pure, guiltless, incorrupt. And that's how the government of Yahweh is going to be. It's going to be pure, incorrupt, without sin. 2088 is the other number. We're very familiar with that. It means on this side, on that side. And as Daniel 12:5 talks about the two witnesses, one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And they are the ones who will bring about this. They were the ones who were prophesied for this last generation to bring about Yahweh's government. And as Isaiah 43:28 says, one was given to Tarsus, the witness Jacob, and we know that that is death. And the witness Israel, the spokesman of the two, as Revelation 11:5 says, is the one that will bring about Yahweh's government in these last days by teaching Yahweh's way. Now the last number, 1687, it means in the innermost part of the sanctuary. Now that's talking about the priesthood of Yahweh, the priests who are going to work together with the last days witness, Israel Hawkins, to bring about Yahweh's government. And it, that number also comes from 1695, which means to subdue. And that is not by force. It is, as Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by might or by power, but by the spirit of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets, through the teachings. Now the witness Israel is fishing out us out of this beastly system and preparing us for this great government that's going to come by teaching us Yahweh's way. If you remember last Sabbath, Pastor said that Moshe brought them out of the land of Egypt, but he did not bring them out of the religions, of their religion that what they were in, the religion that has brought forth the mess that we have for 6,000 years now. But the witness Israel, through the teachings of Yahweh's way, he's going to make that come to pass. So my second year metria, Moshe brought them out of the land of Egypt, but not out of their religion. You see, boundary 5658 means boundary of blood drops. Now, boundary also means a borderline. And a borderline divides between two. In Yahweh's kingdom, there's not going to be bloodshed. It's going to be people loving one another, knowing the laws of Yahweh, and loving one another so they cannot hurt one another. And also, if you remember Isaiah 4:3 and also Isaiah 2:4 and Micaiah 4:3 talks about they will turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will not lift up sword against nation. They will land in war no more. So it's not going to be any war. 658 in the Greek means to complete, to finish. It's going to come to an end. 3948 in the Greek, it means incitement to righteousness, also contention, provoke, unto. Now, in conclusion, I'm urging you to remember positive law number 172, which says, listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed witness, the overseer of the house of Yahweh, for he knows what he's doing. He's leading us to the government of Yahweh, which is going to be very, very soon. And with that, I encourage you to continue studying and enjoy the rest of the feast. We'll turn to the next speaker.
So, it's the 50th day already. That came really quickly. For some reason, this year, it just came really quickly. This great Feast of Pentecost, we know that it represents harvesting the first fruits and Yahweh's seven works bringing us to perfection. And we know that Pastor has taught us about how Yahweh is making mankind, and he's been making mankind through his seven works. And we're in this last seventh work and have the great offer to come into unity and be one of those mankind that he was talking about in Genesis 1:26. So learning unity is one of the main things, and it starts here at the house of Yahweh, and we must come to unity. It's a must to come to unity with this last seventh work in order for us to be harvested as part of those first fruits. If you remember, the number 1074 actually means first fruits in this generation. And in order to be given that increase in Genesis 1:26 and shown in other scriptures that our great overseer talked about, that increase of authority to teach, to serve, to guide under the direction of Yezra Hawkins, his last day's witness. Okay, so let's turn over to Genesis chapter 2 on page 2. And we see here the Sabbaths. Pastor wrote in his articles a few months here ago about the Sabbath image of Yahweh and how the Sabbath shown in Genesis 2 is where Yahweh started blessing mankind with his teaching and his warning. Okay, so Genesis chapter 2 on page 2 on verse 2. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of the work which he had done. So he created the Sabbath that belonged to him. Okay, just like the feasts, they're his. So if we keep them, they're his shadow and we have his mark. Yeah. Verse 3, then Yahweh blessed the seventh day. Pastor wrote a whole series about how we can keep the Sabbath day just as Yahweh kept it and what this blessing is, and set it apart to be holy, because in it he rested from all the work which he had created and made. And you see in verse 9, verse 16 through 17, the warning of not being evil as the gods. So we, in keeping the Sabbath, we have Yahweh's mark, and that shows that we belong to Yahweh. We also belong to Yezra Hawkins. He begets us with the message through the teaching, the preaching, the publishing, and we are his sons and daughters. So we are actually part of his increase that Yahweh has given him. So unity with this last seventh work is the most important thing, and it starts with learning here at the house of Yahweh, keeping the Sabbath and the feast days. And sin or disunity with this house is what separates us from the tree of life, separates us from Yahweh, cuts us off, and takes that mark of Yahweh off of us, and we belong to, what does Romans 6:16 say? You belong to whom you obey. And I know this example is shown in Genesis 3:22, where Adam and Eve decided to go the way of Cain, and they actually belong to the serpent for sinning. Genesis 3:22, then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil. That evil is Genesis 3:5, like the gods. And now he must not be allowed to put out his hand and take of the tree of life and eat forever. So we can quickly hop over to Isaiah 34:16 on page 551. Notice the tree of life was cut off there. In a nutshell, we're going to wrap this up quickly. But Yahweh said that his last days house would be established in the last days, his tree of life restored. And in Isaiah 34:16, it says, search out the book of Yahweh and read. Or search out the book of Yahweh and study, right? Read, study. Not one of these will be neglected. That's a promise from Yahweh. And notice the next words. For it is, what does it say? Written. It is written. Yahweh is their shepherd, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. Anything that's written in the book of Yahweh will not fail. His prophecies will all come to pass in completion. They will not fail. So we know the trees of the gods have multiplied since the time of Cain. How many is there now? 4,199. I actually learned how to say that number without messing it up. 4,199 evil like the god trees, and only how many is teaching righteousness? One. And that's the house of Yahweh that we're all sitting in here now or watching from abroad. So we know this last tree, it's eternal. Okay? Unity, it's eternal. So can we get our gematrias? We have the Sabbath image of Yahweh. You see there, 1074. Whose tag number is that? Yezra Hawkins, okay? Can we get our next one? We have 4,200 trees because we're that last 4,199 of the gods. 2,000 would be us. Trees in this generation, only one teaching righteousness. And you see there, 828 pastor's date of birth, the one who was sent to restore this tree of life. So where is the last day's tree of life? What number is that? 322. Whose tag number? Pastor Yezra Hawkins. Nice job. And now, if you can all please stand, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. Y'all look so nice in your robes. Y'all look so nice. I'm going to go ahead and pick up where everybody else left off. They did absolutely wonderful. So first things first, if y'all turn over to Psalms 110, and just put down on your notes verses 1 and 2. Because I'm going to talk about the rod of strength, rod of your strength. Now, because we know that we have to stay connected to the branch who's connected to the vine, and we have to draw our water from the rock. So if we can put up the first Yamatria, we have rod of your strength. And the first number is the 1350, and it means to redeem. And if you notice the next number, this was brought out during the Feast of Unleavened Bread just recently. And it's 1488, which means I am, I exist, have been, it is. And if y'all remember, when you add all of Overseer's tag numbers from his van and his bourbon, it comes out to 1488, backing up that Yahweh is the one that sent this rod. So if you look down to Psalms 110, it says, Yahweh said to my ruler and king, Yahshua, sit, judge at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yahweh will send the rod of your strength out of Zion, and you will rule in the midst of your enemies. You will judge in the midst of your enemies because of the teachings that Overseer is bringing out in the last days. So then Yeshua can judge the nations because of the teachings that are being brought out. So I'm going to refer to the ninth book of Yishol, part 2, chapter 17, verses 72 and 74. And if we can have that slide, y'all can read it off with me. This branch or rod that Yahweh is going to send out belongs to our brother who is high priest over the house of Yahweh. He's the head, of course, always under Yahweh himself, okay? And it means congregation of people with a rod for chastening, not beating a person. It means this chastising always means correcting or teaching. Correction, ruling, a ruling scepter, Genesis 49, 11, and 12. Support of life. That rod or life also means support, support of life before the silver cord is broken. He's speaking of the house of Yahweh, which is the support of life or the tree of life that was set in the midst of the Garden of Eden. So I had to put that in the Yamatria. And guess what comes out? Just guess. It's 1074. All right, so Yahweh, a support of life, 1074, and Yahweh's rod of life. You know, because Yahweh says he will send the rod of your strength, the laws of Yahweh, the rod being the branch, the man, behold the man whose name is the branch. It never ceases to amaze me how in unity the scriptures are and how the Yamatria just backs it up. And then all the teachings, because Overseer, the branch, has to be inspired in order to connect each and every prophecy with one another. And then what in the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. And we are a part of that work. Praise Yahweh. And I'm just going to end with that Genesis 49. Look, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff, lawgiver from between his feet, until he comes, Yahshua, through the branch, whom he comes to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And who are y'all? Tethering his donkey to the vine, tethering his donkey colt to the choicest branch. That is our support of life. He will wash his garments in wine, and he will wash his robes in the blood of grapes. And Psalms 110, that last, the third verse, your people will have proven themselves obedient to the law. And look at y'all just dressed in your robes dipped in the blood of grapes. Praise Yahweh, we get to be a part of this. Praise Yahweh, y'all are here for Pentecost, and we're going to get ready for Tabernacles. So if y'all don't, please stand, I'll turn it over to the following speaker.
Shalom, great sacred saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's laws poured out. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the laws of Yahweh are perfect. Now that's the fact that must remain in our mind forever, and Yahweh is unchanging. The laws of Yahweh are perfect. Positive Law 125 says, the first fruits of our labor must be separated and brought to the house of Yahweh. And that's what the overseer has done in these last days, that Yahweh used him, has drawn him out to call us to be separated, sanctified, set apart for a sacred use in the house of Yahweh, to bring forth Yahweh's laws to a dying world. Positive Law 133. The first portion of the grain offering must be given to the priest at the house of Yahweh. And let's turn over to Leviticus 23, verses 16 and 17 on page 102. It says here, count off 50 days, and praise Yahweh, we did that. And we're here at the great feast of Pentecost. Now, it says here, then you shall offer a new grain offering to Yahweh. And in verse 17, they shall be baked with salt, the first fruits to Yahweh. Now let's remember in Genesis 4:4, what Pastor has expounded and taught us, that Abel brought forth his offerings to Yahweh. And he explained that this was a people prepared to do a work of Yahweh in that day. And his offering was accepted. And I think it's sort of interesting that in Matithiah 4:4, just as in Genesis 4:4, says that man does not live by bread alone. So we see at Abel, he was teaching the bread of life. He was giving them life through his teachings. In Jacob 1, verses 17 through 18, if you want to turn there, it's on page 953. It says, every righteous gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. The laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, the law and the prophets, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We in the house of Yahweh in these last days have the honor of being presented, set apart, sanctified as Yahweh's sacred first fruits. That is like such an honor. And let's, yes. Now, let's do our first Yemetri. I put in the first fruit, and you can see that's 1074. And that's no surprise to us, because we know that 1074 in its own self in the Hebrew means first fruits. And in the Greek, it means generation. So we are the first fruits of the last generation. That number that went with that Hebrew 793 means to pour, an outpouring. And who has worked diligently, has painstakingly worked all his life to pour out this knowledge upon Yahweh's people? This man works day in and day out. He's not like someone who just sits around and points a finger to someone else to do it. This is a man that's gotten in there and has done the work. And has, through that work, we have been blessed. Through that work. So in Acts 2, verse 17, in Acts 2, we see where the apostles received fruits of the Spirit, which is sacred. But in verse 17, Acts 2, 17, it says, it will come to pass in the last days, as in Micaiah 4, 1 through 4 says, and in the last days I will establish my house. So in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So we see that is coming to pass in these last days. We see how the young people can put to shame the preachers of this world. The knowledge that has been imparted to Yahweh's people is a knowledge that is saving and is strength. So I also find it interesting in Acts 2:17, if you turn over to Revelation 2:17, and you just put that in your notes, you will see that that is the white stone of acquittal that's been given to the overseer. And he, in turn, has given it to us. We are one with him. We are in unity with him. So Isaiah 44 verse 3 also backs up the fact that it says, I will pour out my spirit, my law, upon your seed. Israel Hawkins has done his job. It is up to us now to do our part, to support him and to be aligned with him in perfect unity. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. Just keep getting up. And what must we become? Let's look at this next gematria. What must we become? We must become sacred as Israel. And within those numbers, it means to be chosen, to choose, to be bright, to shine. Let us all glorify Yahweh this day in being in perfect unity as I turn it over to a great seed, the great judge of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is opposite of what the first speaker spoke about. Mine is, let us be like Yahweh. Remember they're saying, let us be like the first beast? We're saying, let us be like Yahweh. And in 1 Kings 18, we know that 450 preachers of Baal came against one man, right? You remember that story? You might want to go read that and refresh yourself later. He had a job set before him, and he did it. And we have a job set before us, and it's much bigger. It's almost 10 times bigger. I put in the Yematria, standing against 4,199 religions, and it's 666. Now, you might have think that I said 666, like as in the number. Well, I did, but you can also say sick, sick, sick. They are sick, 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 sick. Say it really fast. Sick, sick, sick. Sick, 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 right? They're sick. But how do you stand against a system like this? Ilya knew how to do it. And he was accused of troubling Israel, remember? But he told them, no, it is you that are troubling Israel because you have rejected the great laws of Yahweh. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, please turn to Hebrews 12, verse 2. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Yahshua, the first who was led and perfected by the very things that they rejected. Do you see that? Yahshua was led by the laws of Yahweh. He was led and he was perfected by these laws, by this faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the sacrifice. He despised the Baal, the shame. He despised this. He wanted no part with these people in the world. He didn't want any part. He didn't mix with them. He didn't go out with them. He didn't mix himself with these people. He taught Yahweh's way. He taught Yahweh's way, and that's what we need to do in this time period. Stand behind our great pastor because he stands against this system. He has always, ever since I've known him, stood behind, and I'm telling you, he stands up for Yahweh. He stands up for Yahweh, and we need to be behind him doing our part in this as well. And in the Mark of the Beast, part 2, this is volume 2, chapter 17, verse 491, if you're on the Israel Says program, it says, to become perfect takes the practicing of perfection. Do you see why Pastor's always putting in the newsletter, First Shachanan 3? The people that practice righteousness are righteous. So in the Mark of the Beast, it says, to become perfect, it takes practicing of perfection. The living by every word of Yahweh. Becoming perfect also takes the help of Yahweh. Becoming perfect is not instantaneous. Perfection comes over a period of sometimes several years. It's not instantaneous. It takes effort. We have to do our part. And when we fall lax and we go out into this world and we mix with the people in this world, what are we going to get? Are we going to get that perfection? No. They're going to pull us down. They're going to pull us down into their ways. In 1 Timothy or 1 Timothy 1:8, it says, We know indeed that the law is perfect. The law is perfect. But you have to agree with the law. See what it says here? If one agrees with the law, taking it to himself to use. Now, that word use in Webster's, it means to put into action or service, to avail oneself of. Now, if I bought a car and it sat in the driveway and I never used it, would that car benefit me at all? Answer that question. Same with the law of Yahweh. If we don't use it and practice it, it's not going to benefit us. We will not grow. We will not have this perfection of character that Yahweh so desperately wants us to have in this time period. In Acts 3:19, this is very familiar. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." Be converted, that word converted, remember that. "That your sins might be blotted out, that times of refreshing might come from the presence of Yahweh." Psalm 19:7 goes right along with that scripture. They go together. The laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. The laws convert you. That's how you do the Acts 3:19. With the laws of Yahweh, that's how you get this righteous character. In the eighth book of Israel, part one, chapter 20, verse 102, Pastor says in verse 16, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of mercy with boldness. Let us approach the throne. Let us strive to become perfect like Yahshua did." Like Yahshua was. That's how you approach the throne of Yahweh. Through Yahweh's judgments and laws. There again, there's those judgments and laws again, right? Keeping those judgments and laws. By keeping those judgments and laws, you're approaching. It gets us closer and closer to Yahweh. Do we see it? You're getting closer to the throne all the time. Now, our great teacher has been encouraging us for years and years and years. And it's not like, see, sometimes when we get caught in a sin, we think that we can have like a drive-through confession and make it all better. The time to be doing the Acts 3:19 is as soon as we get baptized. That's when the converting process should come to the laws of Yahweh, not when we get caught in a sin. Oh, yeah, I guess I better start converting now. No, because that's when you're already caught in the system. We have to put this character on now. And I have a Yamatria here because Pastor's been pouring out this teaching of righteous character. You know the pouring out of the gifts of Spirit that we want? We've been getting this for years by being taught this righteous character. And Pastor, he wants us all to be perfect now. 3:22. He wants us all to be perfect now. 3:22. Now, when you take that 666, which was our first Yamatria, and you minus that 3:22, which is Pastor's tag number, you get 3:44. 3:44 in the Hebrew, it comes from 3:37, and it means the screamer, that is Hawkins. The shortened form of 188 is what 3:37 is. Alas, woe. Yes, that Hawkins is teaching us to become perfect so that we don't partake of the mark of the beast and we don't suffer the woes that are coming upon this world right now. Number 188, it comes from 188 in the sense of crying out after, lamentation. These plagues are coming upon the people because they have the mark of the beast. We have the mark of Yahweh unless we draw back and we play around in this 666, not 666, sick world. In Revelation 22:14, it says, "Blessed are those who come out and keep these laws, because these are the ones who actually have right to the tree of life, and they will enter in through the gates of the great city." So we have to overcome. We have to become like our great teacher because, believe me, he's already there. And he is waiting for us to come right alongside of him and be a part of this perfection of character, this great pouring out of Yahweh's laws. We got to live them. Don't let it just be parked in the driveway, sisters. Praise Yahweh. And if you'll all please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn services over to the mighty priests in Yahweh's great house. Praise Yahweh.
Keep looking for that city, right? We're almost there, people. Praise Yahweh. At this time, to further our encouragement and strengthen our hearts and our minds, we get to hear from great Deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. The title of this search, and I just did it this week, is Pentecost 2020. And you're going to be really amazed at the things that were in there. Really amazed. Let's jump right into it. Okay. All right. So, of course, the very first thing was Pentecost. Pentecost 2020, right here. And I am serious about this. The absolute first word to come up was acquittal. Acquittal. I mean, that's amazing when it's the first word that comes up in the search. Acquittal. Okay? Then up here, we have one of those, it's one of those words that I can barely pronounce. Let me see if I can pronounce it. Adjuration. Adjuration means to desperately urge, solemnly forewarn, counsel, or request with an oath. And for your notes, if you'll write down Deuteronomy 30:19, that's exactly what Yahweh did the last time he appeared before us before this feast. He desperately urged us, solemnly forewarned us, and counseled us and request with an oath that we start seriously preparing ourselves for what is coming. Okay, so we have that one right there. The next over here means to admonish or admonition. To admonish us. And then another one of these big words came up. Let's see if I can. Assiduity. Is that right? Assiduity, right? Assiduity. And it's us on the sea of glass, constant or close attention to what one or someone is doing. And that's what's going on right now. We're being closely watched by Yahweh, and all the beings in heaven are closely paying attention to what we are doing to see if we are doing what's required so we would be worthy of the great family of Yahweh and be able to lead and guide in righteousness, mercy, and truth throughout all eternity. Okay? The next one that came up, right here, and it's the word gifts. Gifts. And there's more to this, which will come later. Gifts. And we all hope and pray that the great gift of Spirit Holy is poured out upon our great teacher this day. That Yisrael Hawkins will receive that great gift of Spirit Holy so he could administer or give out to those in need to further the work. Gifts. Okay? And right here we had, mixed in with acquittal, we had House of Yahweh. House of Yahweh acquitted on Pentecost 2020. Pretty amazing. House of Yahweh. Then we have a couple of negative ones that came up that's fixing to start. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to take place. Fire, great noise right here. And great tribulation. Fire, great noise, and great tribulation. Then over here, and this one is, it's also connected to House of Yahweh and mixed in with acquittal, is repentance. Repentance. And again, that connects to the House of Yahweh, which mixes into acquittal, which crosses Pentecost 2020. Then we have priesthood, right here, priesthood. We have upright. Upright. And here we have 1074. The priesthood of Yahweh is upright, 1074. Now, I said something more with gifts. And when this came up, I forgot this word was gifts. And I'm like, oh, wow, this word came up. What word is that crossing? And subconscious mind. And I'm like, my mouth hit the table and I just stared at it for like 5 minutes. I could not believe it. Subconscious mind crossing gifts, which is crossing repentance, which connects to the house of Yahweh, who is acquitted on Pentecost 2020. They all connect together. And I was just like amazed by that. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Yahweh, it doesn't get any better than that, but it does. Okay? Two-day feast. Two-day feast. Okay? And that also crosses repentance, acquittal, and connects the house of Yahweh in Pentecost 2020. Okay, then we have Hakohan, or Hawkins, which crosses upright in 1074. Hakahan. Then last, I told this to Pastor, and we thought it's just amazingly beautiful. It can be looked at three ways, if you would. Look at these right here. This one, and this one. 18, 19, and 20. And it's Yahweh's family time. Yahweh's family time, or family time with Yahweh, or Yahweh's family time with his children. This is Yahweh's family time at this great feast. And we thought that was really, really beautiful. Praise Yahweh. We get to spend time with our great Abba. Okay, some other words that came up. Break a Oki's tongue. Admonitory, and it means to give warning. Now, this word amethyst came up. It's Strong's number 306, and it comes from 2492, which means to be made healthy, restored to health, to be made strong. Restored to health, to be made healthy, to be healthy, and to be strong. And that word crosses acquittal also. Okay? Then we have finishing. Gathering, obedience, laws of Yahweh, unity, day of Pentecost, and orchestrator. Yahweh is the great orchestrator in heaven. Now, when music is written for a score, for like a video or a movie or something, a lot of times that the people that write the scores don't know how to orchestrate it for the orchestrator. So they have to have orchestrators come in and write out, do all the parts for all the different instruments. Yahweh's the great orchestrator in heaven, and Yisrael Hawkins is the great conductor for these last days who leads the orchestra. An orchestra cannot perform without a conductor. They have to have someone there keeping the time, guiding them into their parts. So you can see Yahweh, and conductor had come up for pastor before. And the last thing that come up, and I tried to find out yesterday and I couldn't, they didn't know yet. So I called this morning and the meal today, and it was in the code, is buffalo carp. So that was in there too. That was the last thing that I checked this morning. And that's all I have for this Pentecost. So if you'll all please stand. Remember, there was 120 on the day of Pentecost. We need to be like that 120. Yahweh bless you all with a wonderful feast. And at this time, I have the great privilege to turn over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohen Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Okay, I want to encourage everyone right now. If you can look at the monitor, a lot of this is from the very last section of this book, Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events about the Feast of Pentecost. Also, I want to encourage you, I don't know what this means. But you see what that says? Filled with the Holy Spirit, 2020. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Okay, let's go ahead and show the first slide. 7 full weeks and the harvest of the first resurrection is the title. Let's go to the next slide. And in Acts 2:1, I know I brought this a couple years ago, but it says that they were with one accord, united in mind, in one place. In one place. Now look, think about the Pentecost fully coming. Remember, it's not fully come yet. There has to be 7 full weeks, as we're told in Leviticus 23:15. We are in the seventh work right now. But notice, 3479 is the number you get, and it means Yisrael. Yisrael. Well, that makes a lot more sense today than it did 2 years ago, don't it? Because you're sitting in Yisrael, aren't you? Aren't we? Okay, so we must be getting to that full Pentecost that they were talking about there. Let's go to the next slide. Because this is the law in Leviticus 23:15-16. I'm going to read it. It says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the first holy day Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 full weeks shall be completed. Count off 50 days. Okay, now we counted the 50 days here. You see Omer 1 through Omer 50 up to the Feast of Weeks. And look whose tag number's there. You see that? 1074. Well, what is 1074? It's first fruits. It's the first fruits. That's who we are, right? Everybody's tagged Israel Hawkins? That's right. You're the first fruits. Let's go to the next slide. Remember, it told us to count 7 full weeks. 7 full weeks, 1074. Oh, another coincidence. Okay, well, let's look at that first number. 179 means mourn, to mourn. And 179 in the Greek, and actually goes to Abel, by the way, 56 is Abel, to mourn. 179 means indissoluble, that cannot be broken, not subject to destruction, permanent, indestructible, and endless. Wouldn't that be talking about this priesthood that Yahweh is forming? And 1074, remember, means first fruits, first ripe, the firstborn, right of the firstborn, the first fruits of the crop. First fruits of the crop must be the cream of the crop, right? The best of the best. And 1074 in the Greek, if you remember, it practically means race, family, generation, age, nation, etc. But it also means, practically indicates infinity of time when it's said with another time word, like a word that has to do with time. All right. So it means all these things, but it says with, when you use it twice, if repeated twice or with another word, time word, it practically indicates infinity of time. That word 1074. Okay. That number 1074. Okay. And remember, it goes to 1096 and it means, notice, joined, proved, assembled, sound. Remember the Pentecost, they were assembled and there was a great noise. Remember that. And it also means be married, be brought to pass. Remember, we are the family that's going to marry Yahshua, okay, on the Sea of Glass. Remember the Hawkins family tag, 1074, that eternal family tag of the Hawkins family? And remember, the first fruits, Revelation 14:4, the first fruits unto Yahweh and the Lamb, the 144,000. Let's go to the next slide and look at that third number, 2096. The third number, 2096, is the word used in Daniel 12:3. It means shining, brightness, brilliancy, to teach and give warning, figurative of the everlasting glory of the teachers of righteousness. Remember, they who are teachers are going to shine like the heavens, remember? And then 2096 in Greek means life and life giver. It means to show. Remember, you have to teach, okay, to become a life giver, to live, to quicken, to repair, to restore. Remember, we're going to be called the restorers of paths to dwell in. And one of those paths to dwell in, it is in Isaiah 58. Remember the Sabbath, not to turn your foot from the Sabbath. Remember? We're going to be restoring all these things. But also it says, restore to life the dead. To restore the life to dead. Remember, the Feast of Harvest is all about the first harvest of the people that have died in the faith. But everybody that's died since Abel is going to be in that first harvest. But remember, you could be in the first harvest. Does that mean we're going to be chosen? No, it doesn't. Because look here, when you add these numbers up, you get 3349, and it means obedience. From 3348 to obey, obedient. And you can see Daniel 12:2, Yochanan 5:29, Romans 6:16. Remember, you belong to whom you obey. Some will be raised to everlasting glory. Some will be raised to everlasting shame and contempt. Remember? So if you're in that first harvest, the obedience is going to be very important. And Yahweh's expecting a lot from all of us. Okay? 3349 in the Greek means to raise on high. If you're obedient, here's what's going to take place. You're going to be raised on high, suspended in midair. That mean we might have the ability to fly? Huh. Let's go to the next slide. I put in all those meanings without any of the strong stuff in there. I just put in all the meanings without strongs and all that. And notice what you get. 2474 from Hebrew 3478, Yisrael. Yisrael. Okay? Notice all these words about nourishing up and making whole and recovering and shining like the brightness of the heavens. Don't you see him in the brightness of the heavens there? In the firmament with Yahshua? That's the teacher. That's the example we must become. Notice, those who are teachers will shine. 1962. That's when this work began, the beginning of this last day's work. And the other number, 2690, means to sound a trumpet, trumpeter. Trumpeters, okay? Let's go to the next slide. Look at this amazing coincidence here. Think of that number, 2096. In the 11th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 5, verse 122, sermon dated 2511, is the very first time pastor ever mentioned that number, 1074. That was in 2011. He mentioned the number before he even got the tag 6 years later. Okay? Notice, from that date to the day that they made that an eternal tag number on 11-1-16 is 2096 days, the exact same number you just saw. Remember, those who are wise are going to shine like the heavens. They're going to be the ones to restore to life and to restore the street, the paths to dwell in, to heal the sick and raise the dead. That's going to be us, brothers and sisters, everybody. And everybody that's going to be gathered in this harvest. Okay, so now let's go to the next slide. Remember I told you, the best of the best, 1074. The cream of the crop, 1074. Remember the first fruits, the best of the best. The finest, the choicest, the best. Remember in Yeketzke 45:15 or 44:15. He says, but only the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, or the sons of righteousness, who keep the charge of my sanctuary, even though most of the children of Israel go astray from me, they will stand before me to minister before me. They will be gathered together to me, the finest, the choicest, the best, those who have been judged as guiltless, says Father Yahweh. And you can put on your notes there, Revelation 14:4 again. 14:4 or 144, the 144,000 that will be chosen. Can I go to the next slide? Remember that 1074 means indicates infinity of time? Notice, the first number is 258 and it means to unify. Unity, there has to be unity. The second number, 1548, is give in marriage. So those that are in unity with Yahweh's house will be given to Yahshua in marriage. And notice, 1074 is the third number. We all know what that means, the first fruits. This family here that's joined, that's married to Yahshua. Look at all the definitions there. And notice, given marriage, 828, that's pastor's birthday. Okay? Let's go to the next slide. Infinity, 613? Infinity, 613. Remember eternity, 613 eternity, right? But that's not all it means. It means to be married. Notice, 613 means a band, a bond. From 631 to tie, to bind, bound, harness, get ready, make ready, order and prepared. Remember the harvest song? I'm not going to sing it because I'm really not all that great of a singer, but I'd like to bust out into it right now. But I'm not going to. It's Pentecost. I don't want to make anybody upset. Okay, notice that table there. That's the best table I could find. Remember, Pastor said at this marriage supper, there's a big, long table. And at the end, he saw Abel, right? The first word. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Leviticus 23:15 is what we're working off today about this counting, okay? 7 full weeks. Notice the first number in Leviticus 23:15 is 348, and it's from page 348 in the Book of Yahweh where it talks about the east, west, north, and south gates, about direction. Don't worry about the gates. Just think of directions, the four directions or the four corners of the earth that we're going to be sent out to raise the dead. The second number, 2088, is the two witnesses. Remember, the one, the other, on each side, the two witnesses. And then 3050 is Yahweh. And notice, the north, south, east, and west, 322, pastor's tag number, right? Let's go to the next slide. Leviticus 23:15 added up, 348, 2088, and 3050 is 5486. Now get this. It means to come to an end. Remember, 7 full weeks, 1074, 7 full weeks, to come to an end, cease, terminate, completely remove, swept away. Well, what would that be? That would be that likeness of the beast. It's going to be gone completely. There won't be anything left of it. And notice what will be here. 5486, spiritual gifts, deliverance, a spiritual endowment, a miraculous faculty like floating, flying, freely give, bestowed, grant, hand, remember authority, something handed to you, the authority that's going to be handed to us, freely given, pardon, rescue, deliver, forgive, kindness, blessing, credit, gift, thanks, acceptable, lotus, acceptable. Remember NASA? 7613, we wear it. We used to wear it, and meant acceptable. Pastor still wears it. Gift. And 5463 means to rejoice, be glad, cheerful, rejoicing, well off. This is what Yahweh is establishing for all of us here, okay? But we must be obedient. We must be obedient. We must get with it, okay? And I'm talking to myself. Let's go to the next slide. When you put in all those meanings I just gave you, notice the first number, 3735, means mountain. A mountain to raise up, to lift up, to expiate sin. In other words, to get rid of sin. And it means accepted, exalted, granted, forgiven, promoted, brought, merry, spared. Notice the last meaning. It means able to armor. Able to armor. Meaning able to means we're being the gifts, the Spirit Holy is being poured into all of us now. And we're going to be able. We're going to be fully armored. A perfect man ready to go out and raise the dead, heal everything out here. Notice the second number, 2241, from 2133 means olive tree, olive trees, and olive as yielding illuminating oil. Remember the golden oil. Get your golden oil. Don't stop filling your lamps. Don't be one of those 5 out of 10 foolish ones that don't listen to what's being brought here. Because this is very obvious what's taking place, okay? Not only from the laws, but from the prophecies, from the numbers. Let's go to the next meaning, 2528. Can you all see it, the bottom? It means to fully arm, to furnish with arms. No, not guns. It's talking about armed, remember? Arming us with knowledge, arming us with the golden oil. Armed completely, to equip fully with armor, armed all the way down from head to heel, meaning armed with the 613 laws. That's our armor, remember? 613, not guns and knives. That won't be in Yahweh's kingdom. I'm not saying knives won't be there. We got to cut our steaks. I don't need a gun to shoot my steak, but I'll need a knife to cut it. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. This is from the 11th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 9, verse 47. Now notice what pastor says. Notice verse 31 now. And he will send his messengers, that is his prophesied messengers. His prophesied messengers, he will have no other. Yahshua will take care of all this through his house. He will send his prophesied messengers here with the authority. They will have the power and authority, yes, to gather together his elect wherever they died, wherever they were buried. They will gather them together. Yes, praise Yahweh. Okay? You put that, you go here to the next slide. And you put in, he will send his prophesied messengers. That first number is 386, and it means perennial, ever-flowing, permanent, enduring, secure, to continue, strong, mighty, a chieftain. The second number, 386 in Greek, means a standing up, a resurrection, a raising up, rising. It's referring to physical resurrection of the body, to rise from the dead, raised to life again, a resurrection from death. And get this too, a moral recovery of spiritual truth. Not only are dead bodies going to be raised, but the morals are going to be up again too. How about that? And it's from 450, and it means raise up from among the dead, lift up, stand up, jump up. I'm sure that when you're raised from the dead, you're going to be pretty excited, right? That third number, second number, 2316, that's alluding to Exodus 23:16, which says, and keep the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crop sown in your field. Well, there's a lot of dead bodies sown in the fields, right? And we're going to need to lift them up. We're going to need to raise them up with us to keep this great feast. Okay, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be trimming your lamps? Let's go to the next slide. That third number, 2021, I find very interesting, don't you? Does that mean it's going to be in 2021? Pastor said the second Passover? I don't know. I'm just showing you the number. 2021 means to be sharp or strong, a weapon of war, chariot. Now, isn't it amazing when you put in Atlas ICBM Highway, Clyde, where they used to keep these weapons of war, these chariots that fly? Atlas ICBM Highway comes up 1260, which is the last 3.5 years. 2021, the second Passover. And isn't it strange? The Atlas Comet is passing by right now. The Atlas Comet, isn't it passing by us right now? Huh, what a coincidence. So that first number, 210, in Atlas ICBM Highway means reducing to ashes. The second number means 2021, a weapon of war, a chariot. And then the third number, 2021, means to put one's hand to attempt, from 5495, the instrument of a person uses to accomplish their person or their purpose, their intention and plan. Yes, their intention and plan is to destroy all mankind. But guess what? We're going to survive if we're obedient. If we're obedient, we're going to survive this, and we're going to go out like calves released from the stall, right? And look what we're going to do. Go to the next slide. Look what we're going to do. We're going to resurrect the elect ones. 1074, but notice, remember, indicates infinity of time. Notice they're both the same numbers. They're all the same. Now let's read them. 258, remember, meant to unify. 1548 means to give in marriage. You're only going to be given, chosen for the Lamb as a bride if we're in unity. The third number means the first fruits, the first, the best of the best, the cream of the crop, that family. We are the family of Yahweh here. We are the best of the best. Wasn't that brought out before? The best of Abilene, remember that? It's true. Yahweh shows it. We don't need the world's glory. Yahweh shows it. Let's go to my last slide. You remember the two witnesses? Remember in Isaiah 44, he says, my spirit will be poured upon your seed. My spirit upon your seed, 1962, when this preaching began. Now notice this. In Daniel 12, 5 through 7, it says, and this is all I put from there, it says, one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, how long will it be to the end of these wonders? Now, who's asking that question? Remember the question and answer show? Well, look, 1924 is when Jacob was born, right? And look what the answer was. Pastor raised up his hands to heaven, remember? And he said, it will be for a time, times and a half, when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people. All these things will be finished. 1074, you see it? There's the one that gave the answer. At this time, my time is up. I hope Yahweh continues to bless your great feast of Pentecost. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. You got to do that. Everyone take your books of Yahweh and turn to page 981. In reference to some of the things you've just heard, this goes along with it. We're going to look at Revelation 15, verses 6 through 8. If you have a Bible, it's Revelation 15, verses 6 through 8. But page 981 in the book of Yahweh, where the scripture reads, "And the seven Malachim came out of the house, having the seven plagues, and clothed with pure white linen, and wearing golden girdles about their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven Malachim seven golden bowls full of the wrath of Yahweh, who lives forever and ever." He gets to live, but you don't. Well, that's what the church says anyway, especially if you don't listen to them. "And the house was filled with smoke from the glory of Yahweh and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the house until the seven plagues of the seven Malachim were completed." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read about that before, I said, there's seven angels, and boy, these guys must be mean. Let's see what it says. The word seven that is in the phrase seven Malachim that is written three times in Revelation 15, verses 6 through 8, is translated from the Hebrew word shabbat. This word is listed on page 698 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means seventh, S-E-V-E-N-T-H. Seven Malachim? No, the seventh of the Malachim. The word Malachim that is written in Revelation 15, 6 through 8, is translated from the Hebrew word Malachim. Not difficult there. It says angels in your Bible if you're using a Bible. But the Hebrew word is Malachim, and the angel, Agayan in Greek, Agelion and all that, it all comes from that Hebrew word. They translated it into another language. We all know why. The word is listed on page 813 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but you use first. And also it is in Isaiah 2, verses 1 and 2, and Malachi 2, 4, verses 1 and 2, of the 11th edition of the book of Yahweh, letting these scriptures interpret scripture, which show this word means one sent, a messenger, a priest who teaches peace. The word house that is written in Revelation 15, verse 6, and Revelation 15, verse 8, is translated from the Hebrew word bayit, a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 198, 205, and 384, shows this word, the short form of the name House of Yahweh, and also means able. The word having that is written in Revelation 15, 6 is translated from the Hebrew word ish. This word is listed on page 598 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means wealth of knowledge. The word seven in the phrase the seven plagues that is written in Revelation 15, 6 and Revelation 15, 8 is translated from the Hebrew word zayin. Now remember the Hebrew letter, zayin. It's the seventh letter in the Hebrew alphabet and its numerical value according to the Hebraic tongue restored and also 158 in number in scripture by Ethelbert Bullinger, which shows this word number is number seven. It means spiritual perfection. The word plagues that is written in Revelation 15, 6 is translated from the Hebrew word makah. This word is listed on page 548 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means Yahweh's judgments. The word golden that is written in Revelation 15, verses 6 and 7 is translated from the Hebrew word zahab. This word is listed on page 386 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius Furst, and page 133 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldean Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Huckabee. And also it is written in Zechariah 4, verses 12 through 14, letting Scripture again interpret Scripture, which shows this word means oil, golden oil, light, anointed to stand for Yahweh. Okay, turn this page over, go to the next one. The word girdles, that is written in Revelation 15, verse 6, is translated from the Hebrew word hagar. This word is listed on page 418 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Furst, which shows this word means sackcloth. The word bold, that is written in Revelation 15, verse 7, is translated from the Hebrew word rak. That's reshq, spelled R-A-Q. And it's formed matzarak, zarak, andarik, and ruk. All forms of this word are listed on pages 407, 611 through 612, 794, 1297, and 1317 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament at Julius Furst, and pages 415, 756, 1463, and 1476 of volume 1 and 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Chazel, which shows this word means to shine forth of the oil pipes in Zechariah 4, verse 12, to be naked, or to be another color words, at sitting a duck, so to speak, bare, to make bare, emptied, bare, wanton, and loose people, wise people, rabble, nothingness, vanity, in vain, of no purpose, mere vexation, mere evil, to spit, spittle, to be empty, empty, void, worthless men. If a word of the law appears void of meaning, it is your fault because you do not toil to study it. Even if there is a command you consider to be empty and unimportant, there is in it life and length of days. Contemptible, good for nothing. I use the word, I'm just verbatim. Woe to you, worthless men, tomorrow soon the flood, destruction shall come. The word wrath that is written in Revelation 15, verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew hama. This word is listed on page 475 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means justice. The word smoke, pastor really looked at this one. It was important. That is written in Revelation 15, 8 is translated from the Hebrew word oshan. This word is listed on page 825 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Edward Robinson. Get the right guy. Edward Robinson, which shows this word means a people suddenly dispersed, scattered to the four winds, in other words, shotgunned, whatever you want to call it. The word completed that is written in Revelation 15, verse is translated from the Hebrew word katz. This word is listed on page 1248 of a Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon to the Old Testament. The Jewish scripture shows this word means the last days. So this is what Revelation 15, verse 6 through 8 is saying, and it is a lot. Okay, there we go. And the seventh of the messengers, the seventh of the ones sent, a priest who teaches peace, who has the knowledge of Yahweh's perfect judgment, clothed in pure white linen and wearing sackcloth about his chest, who stands for Yahweh and brings his light, came out of the house of Yahweh at Abel. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seventh of the messengers, the seventh of the ones sent, a priest who teaches peace, the golden oil filled with the complete justice of Yahweh, who lives forever and ever. He, the seventh of the messengers, uncovered the sin and vanity of all men and the wise ones, that they would be spewed out, saying, all is vanity, vexation, and evil. O worthless men, you see the law means nothing when it is indeed your fault because you do not study it. You consider even the least of Yahweh's commandments to be meaningless, even though in them is life and length of days. Woe to you, O worthless men, for your destruction surely draws near. Verse 8, and the house of Yahweh at Abel was filled with those who had been driven away from the glory of Yahweh and from his power. For no man was able to enter into the house of Yahweh at Abel until the perfect judgments of Yahweh were restored in the last days by the seventh of the messengers.
The seventh of the ones sent, a priest who teaches peace. I pray at this time you understand what has been said. Yahweh chose a man to be a priest who teaches peace. The golden oil that comes out of the golden pipes that is talked about. Read the book, The Two Witnesses, to further understand this writing in Revelation. Because once you learn those things there, you know what the apostle was trying to get through to you in Revelation. Yahweh bless your understanding, and I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Welcome home upon this great feast of Pentecost, and blessed are those who are able to enter in through the gates into this great city that we have. When we write down for your notes, starting off, Revelation chapter 16, verse 3, and you can read over that as the news plays, because what we're seeing is the sins of man have reached into many parts of this world, and they're reaching deep into the waters also. Keep in mind that you're going to see in the news where they're showing the wastewater systems are testing positive for coronavirus, for many other diseases, for drugs. Even to the point they say that what man is putting into the water, the fish are becoming transgender. Fish are actually messing with them, putting homosexuality into something that should never be. But then remember what pastors brought us for years, the gut brain. What you put into the gut affects what you make, the decisions you make in the brain. It affects society. But you're going to see where these waters are becoming contaminated. Remember what the law says. When you use the restroom, that is to go into the ground and the microbes will process it. But when you deal with the wastewater, you're going to see in the news, it never goes underneath the ground. It literally goes through a system that's funneled through pipes. They put chemicals in it, shoot it out into the lake, and shoot it right back into your faucet. Watch very carefully. Look very carefully. Pay attention, close attention to what you're going to see in the news and the disease and how easily it can be spread. Because as you see in the news, the coronavirus is coming down. The 5 months is almost over with. In fact, next month will be the end of the 5 months of the coronavirus, just as Pastor has showed us. While these things are going on, though, we also have a situation in Minneapolis where a man named George Floyd, he died due to, as we've seen many times before, they're calling it police brutality. But this is mankind. It's not just an officer and a black man that is just, that, as you'll see in the news, they're showing an officer who is a white man. He has his knee on the neck of a black man, and the black man dies. Well, the tribe of Yada has had his arm on the neck of his brothers for many thousands of years now, and you're seeing a system, and it's a training of a system. It's the lack of education and morality that are bringing these things to pass. And yes, racism is one part of that, as taught in the Peaceful Solution, that doesn't have a part in morality. But this is more than just racism, and you see the rioting, six people dying last night, burning the city down. How much sense does that make if a man is killed that we burn the city down? We've seen that in Ferguson, also Missouri, a few years back. But people are rioting. They have no answers. The answers for the coronavirus was, we'll send you $1,200 and you'll be okay. There was no cure for the problem. There was no change of lifestyle outside. Stay away from your fellow man. He's diseased. Stay 6 foot from him. Well, what causes this to take place? What's bringing this about? Why is mankind so contaminated? Why can we not come out of it? Well, it's a due to the rejection, not of only Yahweh's laws, but a due to the rejection of the one sin in these last days, which they're going to cry out. And we see the world crying out for this one sin, for the seventh Malach, because they want to get away from this disease. There are people, you can see this, making pleas right now. While all this is taking place, of course, you have China and India building up more tension as soldiers have entered into India from China. They've sent in a small amount. And this is being provocative. And you have two nuclear countries, two of the largest populations in that fourth part of the earth, being very provocative, pushing each other, so to speak. And then, of course, the EU saying that they now are realizing that they're faced with a choice. Remember what Malachi Martin brought in this last time. You're going to see the United States vying for the top spot. Russia is going to vie for the top spot. They're teaming with China. And then you have the Vatican, who's hoping everybody will annihilate everybody, and they'll come out on top. But the choice the EU has is we can do business with the United States or we can do business with China, but we're starting to see we can't do it with both. We're going to have to choose. And, of course, that's this push. They're pushing for this top spot. And then you have the country of Jordan, and they're very upset over this annexing of the West Bank. That's what Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, has said. They're going to annex the West Bank. And it's very important to pay close attention to this because Mahmoud Abbas has made the comment that they will possibly pull out of the Oslo Accord. That's the 7-year agreement that was signed on the White House lawn September 13th, went into effect October 13th. People are actually thinking, well, if he pulls out, will this stop it? Mahmoud Abbas has been saying this since 2015, and he's never pulled out. Okay, what was said in the last 2 weeks is not something new. There's always been a threat. And remember, the agreement was made with a country, not with a person. Mahmoud Abbas signed it when he was there in Washington, D.C., but it was an agreement with a group of people, not just with a person. And actually, he's been summoned to testify at the ICC court to say, what are your intentions? Are you going to stay with this agreement or not? But you see the adherence coming back in, the pressure over in the Middle East about this Oslo Accord. You can call it Trump's peace plan, but it's the Oslo Accord. And they're saying there's rules that were agreed to, and they're putting more pressure to try to bring Israel and Palestine back into this original agreement of the Oslo Accord, which, remember, was written back in 1976 in the Mark of the Beast book. You can find it on pages 167 and 174 in Volume 1 about this 7-year agreement. It's going to be pushed through just as was written, and it's taking place. We're in that last 3.5 years. Then you have Venezuela and Iran, two countries that are trying to get their oil back on the market, so they're using each other. They're both sanctioned very heavily. But you have them, and you're going to see where Venezuela has more oil reserve than any other nation, but they don't have the chemicals to refine it. Iran has the chemicals to refine it, but they can't sell their oil. So they've teamed up, and they're actually doing business right now. And you'll see them as the ships pass through the ocean trying to get this back on the market, trying to get money going, because the United States is occupied with many things right now. And then you have, of course, a promise of nuclear weapons by NATO. NATO's wanting to put, they're putting comments out there, an ambassador is from the United States, putting these nuclear missiles on the border of Poland. Poland right there for Russia. Well, there's a buildup. And you'll hear the man that's speaking, he's a former soldier, he says that this is suicidal. That's not a deterrent to put them that close. That's not a deterrent. It's being very provocative. So we see the waters becoming very deadly. We see disease in the waters. And remember, we also have this scorching fire in that fourth part of the earth. It's continuing to build. Also along that, you have the peace plan taking place. All of these things going hand in hand. How could one doubt the words that comes from the voice of the seventh Malach when we can see it before our very eyes? At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to present, as the prophets and apostles called the voice of Yahweh, Yahweh's seventh Malach, the greatest teacher in the world, the great God in Israel, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Oh, what a beautiful sound. Man, this is great. Wow, looks like a feast day, doesn't it? Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You can be seated if you will. Don't forget David's sermon. I wanted to, that news, it makes me want to start with a warning. But I don't have time to cover it all here today. But that if you saw, you need to get you a sheet of paper and a pencil. That's what you need. And at the very top, if you've got it, write the word water. Keep that handy. Keep it close to you. You better get to thinking now, because water is a second plague. You know, we're just still in the first plague, and this other one is coming right behind it. It doesn't show how rapidly this is going to take place. There's got to be some things done by our governments before it can take place. But I would say get you some containers. First, read up on it. Experience is not the best way to learn. Read up on it and see how to preserve your water, how to preserve a supply of water. I would say about 2 years. Now, you may have to go back to the way I was raised. We didn't have running water. We did. We had to run to the well, which was about 50 yards or so, and get a bucket, get what we could carry, come back, and it wouldn't last long, of course. It's just a bucket, gallon and a half of water. But that gallon and a half of water was for 9 people. And you're used to 900 gallons or more a day. One washer load of clothes, I think, is 90 gallons. 90 gallons, and we got a gallon and a half of water, and that's supposed to last 9 people all day. Well, you don't waste things in Oklahoma when I was coming up, when I was born. But learn how they manage it. You can read up. The history's there for you. The Dust Bowl. It's some of it's there. It's written for you to learn. And, of course, you need to believe it. The Pentateuch is something else I'd like to mention. You might put that after water. I think this would stop a bunch of doubting if you found out the facts on the Pentateuch. There's a lot of people spent a lot of time investigating this, and they've got it written. I didn't write it. They just wrote it themselves on facts that's been handed down through history. And, of course, the work that they put into it was minor compared to what the prophets put into it. But you need to know that, and you'll have a lot better faith. I'm trying to get you to believe what is written. It is written, Joshua said. And, of course, if you don't believe what is written, you can't believe Joshua. You can't believe in Yahweh. What could you believe in? Nothing. You're on your own. You're worthless. You have nothing. You have no authority. The only authority he gives you is to learn, but not by experience. You learn by experience, you'll be dead in just a very short time. Collect the other learnings from the other people ahead of you. Yahweh gave you examples. He told you even where to find it, what animal to find it in. He gives it to you. Now, you don't have to eat it and prove that it will invade your mind. It's all written for you in history. The factual, the scientific facts, it's written for you in history. You don't have to go and eat it and see if it'll really go to your mind and what it'll really do to your mind. You're sunk then. You're gone. Also gone to hell. Well, Pentecost. Wow, this is going from the worst to the best. Pentecost is the very smallest feast, and it's brought in the many years, 6,000 years of history, it's brought to mankind unity. Oh, boy. The smallest thing, we wouldn't even think about that word unity bringing us so completely like Yahweh. Well, to be just, we should be just studying it every day, you know, and see what unity does for people. How can two walk together without there being unity? That's what Yahshua said. He put it pretty simply there. The smallest of the annual feasts, but it brings forth the the greatest blessings. It brings that nothing is going to stop me. You know, that right there, if it's this determination, you got to understand a little bit. If you read up on it, maybe the water alone will save you, keep you alive long enough to understand the rest of this and why we all must come to unity. But you can't walk together. You can't. What do? You fight. You cause wars. That's the news. I took one article there this morning because it intrigued me because of the news we have here and the fighting, you know. Here we're so mournful because the U.S. has gone into this first plague that they were warned about. And, of course, they were warned how to deal with it from the house of Yahweh. We told them several years in advance, this is coming. You better get ready for it. We told them how to get ready for it. You know, they listened to it with this dumb trichinosis between this ear and this ear, that because they didn't believe what Yahweh said, so they didn't want just an empty faith. They wanted to prove this, and they proved it because by that time, the brain was so clogged up with the trichinosis, its eggs, its blood, a bunch of blood collected up there with them billions, billions and billions of eggs that you get from an animal that Yahweh said, don't touch this. Yeshua says, believe Yahweh. You don't have to see him to believe him. Just believe him. Oh, that's just an empty faith, he said. Well, now he's got an empty head, except for a bunch of blood, a bunch of goo-goo that's floating around. You'll remember what I said if I put it this way. Well, of course, this is what's taking place now. Over 500 National Guard soldiers activated to amid protest regarding George Floyd's death. Well, you know, this is why these people in this sick world with the mark of the beast that are suffering so much right now, they're grieving, they're afraid, they're fearful, they don't know whether to go out of their house, stay in their house. They don't know whether to start their jobs back to work again or not. They're fearful that this is going to get on them. And, of course, it's still, you know, got time to do so because Yahweh told everyone it's going to last 5 months. It won't stop any sooner than that. You better get yourself ready. Well, of course, they didn't prepare. There's only one way to prepare. And they avoided that. So they got it. And here's these people, all mournful and shook up and dying, many of them. And yet, to solve this shooting problem, you know, we don't have that shooting problem. we have peace. And it's so hard to think even that all this stuff is going on into the world when it's so peaceful and calm when you're following Yahweh. Well, now those shootings last night, I guess there was about six, probably more than that by now reported, but those shootings are the result. The way to stop this, as far as they can see, is force. Emmanuel Army Force, National Guard Forces, law enforcement. Now, this is the way they see of stopping it. And it does for a few minutes or maybe a few days till what they call their enemies, which is another color. You know, they got another shade of color to their face. So this makes them your enemy. Each one is the enemy. No, we haven't solved that problem. Racism is worse now than it was 50 years ago when I was on a local police department. And we were having big-time problems then. The city bought out a bunch of people and transferred them to another location. That was a wise move because that's found in the scripture. But that's about the only wise move they made. They thought they had the problem solved and went back to doing the same old thing to cause it again. Well, of course, Trump threatens. He threatens shooting. Trump is threatening shooting in response to Minneapolis looting. Yep. That's the force. Well, of course, the smallest thing is Pentecost, and that smallest thing is actually started 6,000 years ago, and Yahweh saying at that time, now pay attention, he said, you got to do this with all your might, and he told them what to do. And he says, if you don't do it, you're going to perish. I'm not going to kill you, he said. You're going to kill yourselves if you don't pay attention to this Pentecost, the smallest feast of the year that means unity, unity with Yahweh. It means that nothing is going to stop me. That's a lot, you know. That's a great thing to determine this in your mind. Nothing's going to stop me from becoming unity with Yahweh. Nothing. Praise Yahweh. Another that is get behind me, Satan. Because right after they say nothing is going to stop me, Yeshua said, then comes the wicked one and tries to zap away from what you've determined to do. Well, those who are truly determined now, They can hold on to that, and they can grow with it and come perfect unity with Yahweh. Those who are weak, or as Yahshua said, they really don't have the background, that is the study, the training of the laws and the prophecies. They think, the old saying now among the preachers, they're coming at the house of Yahweh with, well, those are just stories written by our forefathers. And most of them are Jewish forefathers. And when they say Jewish, they think they're referring to Yahweh's people, and they just about spit every time they say it. That's how much they hate. Yahshua said it. They hate the truth. They hate the light. Well, of course, that's one and the same thing, truth and light. So you got to learn when these thoughts come into your mind, that 5 months, that was just a guess. Well, why did he write it? When did he write it? Oh, you didn't know he wrote it? Well, that shows what you're lacking. The house of Yahweh, if you'd remember the scripture in Psalms 118, verse 26, the house of Yahweh is where you're blessed. You're blessed with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, with the warnings. Don't break these laws that are written. You're a fool if you break these laws that are written. They're going to bring you death if you break these laws. That's going to fog up your mind, get you confused, and then you won't be able to study to get yourself out of the hole you've dug for yourself, the grave. Here's another one, that no power except in war. And, of course, this is proven right here. I jotted this down earlier when this was coming out. I said, well, this is just exactly what it's leading to, and that's what the Scripture showed. Matitia talked about it in Matitia 24, verse 7, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, color against color, blood against blood, droppings of blood. Remember that. I'll add to it later. Yahweh is perfect. That's one you don't want to forget. It's written, Yahweh is perfect. So why are we seeking Yahweh? Because we hate the truth. We hate His laws. We hate His light, which is the perfect laws. Perfect in righteousness brings unity with Yahweh, but it also brings unity with each other. When we're at unity with Yahweh, we're completely servants to those around us. We're wanting to know what we can do to help others, to get involved with the work that's helping others, the only work that brings blessing. Number 6 is the unity it brings. Number 7, unity with Yahweh is almighty. Yeah. You think of the power, that aspect, that trait, that virtue, as it's called, brings. Now, power to turn people from wanting to kill each other, like we're seeing right here before us right now, 6,000 years after creation, and we're still seeing it. And it's getting worse. Not only are we fighting each other here in the great U.S., we're fighting the nations all around us. All around us. We don't want them here. We plainly tell them, we don't want you in our country. Those that are here and been born here, if you don't like what we see, leave. Get out of here. We don't want you. That's the attitude. Almighty, unity, can you think of that? Atonement and unity. Pentecost, atonement and unity. And we got it all right here at the house of Yahweh. It's the I, unity, peace, with Yahweh. Micah 4, it's also no war. No war anymore. Now that's the blessing you get from Yahweh's house. In the last days now. Don't forget, in the last days. Read Micah 4. Write that down underwater. When you start getting thirsty and you have nothing but the worms to drink, you'll be remembering this. You'll be remembering, and why didn't we do what that man said? Well, I said it. You may not like it, but it's coming. The first one came. You know, the people that don't believe these, you won't have to wait long to see it again. And Yeshua said, He says, I told you so that when it comes, you would believe. In this thing on peaceful unity, the only commotion I know of here at the house of Yahweh is Israel, I got this to show you. You might not believe it, but I've seen people call and I've got to show you this. I don't want to show you on the phone. I've got to show you this. You got to read this for yourself. Israel, I got to show you. You can tell they're jumping up and down. That Michael Ossoff was about to leave the floor this morning. I calmed him down a little. I thought maybe he had just won the lottery, you know, and but it wasn't that at all. And then I said, well, maybe it's that truck loaded with milk and honey, you know, their new truck. Y'all didn't forget that, did you? That new truck we're offering now. We're offering a new truck loaded with milk and honey. And all you've got to do is use that to haul it to the people and distribute it out. Distribute out there. Study and show yourselves approved to drive that truck. Truck loaded with milk and honey. Well, it wasn't that, they said. No, it's written. It's written. Okay, what's written? In a scripture. And they're still jumping up and down. Now that's excitement. That's joy. They call first, and then here they come. And I said, well, you got to show this. You know, this is great stuff. So they come a little further off of the floor at that time. Well, here's one of the things they wanted to show me in Matthew 24. And you probably have not noticed this before. And, of course, because of the peaceful solution character education program. When it's taught, it works. When it's written, it works even better. Yeshua said, it is written. Well, it's written, you know, in a way that it brings forth righteousness. If it brought forth evil, it wouldn't matter. You know, it would make things worse. What you're trying to do is leave evil and come forth to unity with Yahweh. And of course, Yeshua being the Savior and the one who was born without sin, lived without sin, and was able to die a horrible death. It had to be a horrible death for that man to die and fulfill the prophecies. But he willingly did this in obedience to Yahweh, taking Yahweh's word for it, 100%, calling everybody else that didn't believe liars and fools. And he willingly died. He suffered up until his death. And then he told his disciples, this evil system now is coming, so I can't talk with you much after this. This evil system is coming, and I have nothing in common with this evil system that is going to be take over Jerusalem, destroy the temple, not destroy it, but move it. There won't be left one house here. It's going to be total rubble. They won't even know that a temple set here, even though it was made out of stones that was many, many feet long, wide, and deep. And they had no backhoes, no cranes, no gasoline engines that would pick up such things as that. And yet Yeshua said, all of this is going to be gone. And he said, you won't even know that it stood here, because there won't be one stone left here for you to look at. And he told his disciples in this same setting here, Look at verse 37. Now, you're going to have to believe this because this is the way it is. We have reached the world with this message, this warning, the whole world, millions and millions of people. Yes. And they let us know it. Yes. We have done what Yahshua said we would do right here in this chapter. It is written. Well, now it is accomplished. And Yahshua takes you through a time of hatred here now. And you look down to verse 37. But just as the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. Is our work in vain? No. Was Noah's work in vain? No. He did a tremendous work for years. It'd take you a while. This is not a quick thing, but the Pentateuch, it really goes into detail about this ark, the scientific, the man that built this ark. It wasn't like he didn't give us information. Now, where did he get that information? That information is top class. To build a building like that, that would withstand the pressure that was put on it by a flood, with the load inside of it of animals and feed, fresh water to drink, the length of time that it had to endure. I mean, all these things are figured. All these things are so magnificent. When you start reading it, you don't want to put it down. And it points out how this can't be anything but truth. There's no way this man could have known all of this. And he did, because it dates back to his lifetime, way back there. And this is proven in archaeology also. So what you're reading there, when you read this, you're reading about a man that back in what we want to call the Stone Age, where they knew nothing. And you read about his accomplishment. The biggest accomplishment that took place was probably the same thing that took place to lift the house of Yahweh up. There was probably ridicule. Ridicule and hatred is voiced a lot. They don't know it, but when they're preaching against Yahweh, they're actually taking his name and introducing it to the people. And that's the way they did in this last days too. As it is in the days of Noah, as it was, so in this time too, the time of the end. And when they started bringing false charges, this was prophesied. You know, we were aware of this. We even told them in advance what they were going to do. All of this was given in advance. And when it came to pass, they didn't even realize that they'd fulfilled prophecy. Well, in his time, that guy's building a boat over there. That probably wouldn't mean anything. But they stretch it out a little and laugh about it. And, well, that nut's over there claims he's going to get so many of each animal and put it in this thing, and they're going to float in a flood. Now, this is the way they would tell it. And, of course, they'd look at it, they'd say, tell the neighbors, you ought to go look at that thing. That man's been working 100 years on that thing. Well, see, this would get attention. It would raise it up, lift the work that Noah was doing, it would lift it up. It did the same thing with us. They came at us full force. I was worse than Al Capone, they said. and of course, they didn't know it, but they made everybody want to read about the house of Yahweh. In this way, Yahweh lifted us up, showed us to the world, and we got the message out, just like Noah did. We got the message out, so they all know of this warning. The warning is that first plague that you just went through is a very light one compared to the others. It only lasted 5 months. It will last 5 months. It's not over yet for all the lands. It will last 5 months, and that's being quoted. The world is telling you what we told them many years before the plague came. At least 13, but before that we were talking about it. 13 years, or 14 years ago, we told everyone about these plagues and when they were going to hit, how long they would last, and so forth. Well, now others are telling, scientists are looking into it, and they're saying, yeah, it's only going to last 5 months. Look at these records right here. So some of them are believing it, but will they believe the rest of it? The rest of it is it's going to get much worse. And we can see the signs of it right now. That's the reason this was brought, this news about the water. That's the reason you need to get you, if you're within listening distance, you need to listen and you need to start some action. It's a little bit hard to handle water, store water. Water ruins real easy. It's hungry. It latches on to everything it can, everything that gets in it. It latches on to the bad stuff as well as the healthy stuff. So it's real difficult to put it in a container and expect it to stay fresh and drinkable. It's hard, but you can do it. To make it better for you is receive the blessings from Yahweh's house. You're blessed at the house of Yahweh. If you could read that verse over and over till you understand it, then go back to Yeshua's words and said, you won't see salvation. You're expecting salvation? These preachers in the world, they're preaching salvation. The Pope said the other day that they weren't seeking a bunch of laws. They're seeking a relationship. His buddy, I think, was standing next to him at the time. And I think the relationship they found. But we're not talking about seeking relations like that. That's sin. It's evil. What we're talking about is laws that will guide you. They'll warn you. They will protect you from this evil to come. The evil that is shown also in this same chapter of Matithya. He shows in verses 11 and 12, many false prophets will arise. Well, what caused them to arise? What caused this? A plague. They don't know what to do. The people are making demands and asking questions of the churches. Well, we don't know what to do, and they don't admit it. And one of them gets on television and said, oh, the Lord so loved the world. And maybe I better wait and let him say it to you. He had no answer. None of the rest of them did either. All he had in mind was the Lord so loved the world. The world, my friend, is the one that's doing all the fighting. They're evil from one nation to another, one religion to another, one kingdom to another. Evil at war. They're also in wars here in the United States. Now that's the love that you're talking about. He had no answers for anything. They just that his people were dying. And the people were wanting to come to church, and they couldn't come. They was blocked. Well, now they're in church, but they're still getting the same benefits because there's no blessing. There is no blessing except the house of Yahweh. Read it for yourself in your own Bible. It's in the Bible. You'll probably, if you have a King James Version, you'll need to get you an interlinear to show you that it's Yahweh that's telling you this. It's the house of Yahweh, not the house of the Lord. But you preachers knew that. You knew you removed the name Yahweh to remove the blessing. That was a direct hit of Satan. Whatever, the Yeshua said this to you, Yochanan, or King James Version, John, Satan is your teacher. And whatever she tells you to do, that is what you're going to do. Well, you did it, didn't you? You brought her forth, and you're trying to make out like that somebody is going to save you. You just come to church here now, and you continue in your sins, which keeps you cut off from the blessings. Sin. 1 John 3:4 is the breaking of the law. That's what cuts you off from Yahweh. Isaiah 58:1-2. You're cut off from Yahweh because of your sin. Yeshua says, you won't see me. You won't see salvation. Matithya, that's 23:39. He said, you won't see me until you say from your heart, mouth, and everything, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. You turn over to Psalms 118:26, and you will, in the interlinear, and it will show you that it says house of Yahweh, not house of the Lord. The houses of the Lord are many. And Yeshua said in verse 12 and 13, many of them will rise. They're going to rise, and they're going to start bringing their blasphemy and their ridiculous thoughts without any answer. Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you!